This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Your Radio Doctor and their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Your Radio Doctor does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, products, physicians, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on Your Radio Doctor. Always consult your own physician. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's time for the Delaware Valley's first radio doctor. On call every Saturday afternoon at 5. This is Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie. Presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
Listen, 7 months or 10 months is an absolutely exceptionally short time frame to produce this vaccine.
Your health determines your life, your longevity, and your happiness. Let your radio doctor lead the way with your medical education. Your radio doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie.
Welcome to Your Radio Doctor. I'm your host, Dr. Marianne Ritchie. Friends, when a child has a complex medical diagnosis, which is found at birth or manifests later in childhood, parents and families can be overwhelmed. The Children's Specialized Hospital at Robert Wood Johnson Barnabas Health in New Brunswick, New Jersey, is one of the nation's best and largest pediatric rehabilitation centers, which includes inpatient and outpatient services for children from birth to age 21 who face special health challenges, including chronic illness, complex physical disabilities, and a full array of developmental, behavioral, and mental health issues. Here to tell us about this outstanding hospital is Dr. Matthew McDonald. Dr. McDonald is an associate professor of pediatrics at Rutgers, New Jersey Medical School, and a young man with a very long history of achievements. He was the chief resident in pediatrics at St. Christopher's. He's been recognized for his leadership, received countless awards as a teacher and a compassionate physician. He was invited to be the chief medical officer in 2018. Since 2021, Dr. McDonald has been the CEO and president of the Children's Specialized Hospital. And under his watch, it's been the number one ranked inpatient pediatric rehabilitation hospital in the nation for 8 consecutive quarters. But the coolest part of his profile is that he won the Loyalty Award and the Student Athlete Award in men's soccer at, wait for it, St. Joseph's University, and I can tell because I see the diploma behind your head, Dr. McDonald. You're my fellow Hawk. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, Marianne. Thanks so much for having me. And yes, the Hawk will never die, and I'm glad you picked up on that accolade. I didn't get much playing time, but I was a loyal St. Joseph's men's soccer player.
Hey, it's all about the spirit. We don't win unless we're unified. So, Matt, tell us, what makes RWJ, Robert Wood Johnson, the Children's Specialized Hospital so special? I, as I said to you before we started, I am bowled over by the services.
Yeah, Children's Specialized is a wonderful and unique place. And as you said, I have the pleasure of leading an organization that is special because of its purpose. As part of Robert Wood Johnson Barnabas Health, Children's Specialized purpose is effectively to take care of children with special health care needs and unique health care challenges. It's a hospital that many people may not be familiar with the kind of hospital we are. So we're a rehabilitation hospital for children and young adults. And we function a lot like a specialty hospital. So in our inpatient pediatric rehab and ambulatory sites across the state of New Jersey, and we serve children with special health care needs in all different facets. Some services in a hospital base, some services in the home, outpatient services, specialized services, niche services, community recreation, community programs. But what makes us really special are the kids that we serve. We're an institution that's dedicated toward helping children with special health care needs reach their full potential. So it's a very special place in that way.
Beautiful. And I'm glad you mentioned that you have unique services for in-home therapy as well, because when you think of rehabilitation, people might picture a little child in a wheelchair or crutches because they have cerebral palsy, or maybe they've had a really uncommon fracture or something. But if somebody were to visit your website, you see seven major categories with so many conditions listed in each one. And I jotted them down just for our listeners' sake. Children with the with autism spectrum disorder, brain injury, be it a spontaneous bleed into the brain or I guess a traumatic injury, chronic illnesses. This is where I don't think people understand how much comprehensive love and care goes into helping these children reach their full potential. I love that you say it that way. A little child with diabetes, it's more than not eating candy. It's going to a birthday party and not being able to eat what the other children eat. It's having high and low sugars and feeling faint in school. It's all those things. It's a continuous thread in their fabric all day, every day. And they need, we're going to talk about a case of it, but cystic fibrosis, children with sickle cell, autoimmune disorders that just plague them all day, every day. Children that get organ transplants or chronic respiratory. And then I see that you have children have chronic pain management. We don't think of that in children, do we? We think of that more as adults that have had an injury. So tell us a little bit about the different categories. I shouldn't call them that, but the different areas of service.
Yeah, well, what you're touching upon is serving children with special health care needs means a host of different things. And there are several different definitions, which I won't bore you with. But generally speaking, children specialized delivers care in several different large settings. In the inpatient pediatric rehabilitation hospital, we take care of children with traditional rehabilitation diagnoses, similar to adults, in the form of spinal cord injury, traumatic brain injury, non-traumatic brain injury, like children and babies that have had strokes, cerebral palsy, for example. We also take care of babies who, as I like to say, had a rough start to their life. We all hope that every baby is born perfectly healthy, but many, many babies are born prematurely or born with genetic predisposition to conditions that are going to require them to, in intensive care units, sometimes have life-saving intervention. And then Children Specialized takes care of those babies when they leave the intensive care unit and need to learn how to eat or learn how to breathe on a ventilator, or sometimes reduce the interventions that are needed for those babies. Also in the inpatient rehabilitation, we do things that generally are very, very unique. And you touched on two of those areas. So amplified pain syndrome, which is mostly a diagnosis for adolescents, teenagers who have a pain that is amplified such that they cannot function, sometimes can't go to school, sometimes do have wheelchairs. There we provide an exercise-based and psychologically-based therapies so that those young people can get back up on their feet, get back to school, et cetera. It's not a program like we would think of in adult pain management, where we may be doing pain interventions or intervening with medications. And then also in the inpatient rehabilitation setting is another very unique program for children with chronic illness, and specifically for children with type 1 diabetes. Usually, when children are diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, they get some education, they get great care from their endocrinologist, and that may be enough for many families. But for other folks who, for whatever circumstance, have uncontrolled sugar or can't manage their disease on their own or have a difficult social situation, we invite those children in for a four-week stay, which is very unique. And they have an intensive, highly educational, rooted in exercise, where those young people get to learn about their disease. And they're empowered to take care of themselves, not only when they're in the hospital, but moreover for when they go home. And we try to keep those children from bouncing back and forth from life-threatening situations, bouncing back in and out of hospitals. So it's very unique, the inpatient rehabilitation, the full gamut from babies who need lots of extra help or need to reach their full potential, up to and including young adults with chronic illness and chronic disease, spinal cord injury, brain injury. And let me tell you, the outcomes and the kids do very, very well. We have an unbelievably loving and caring staff that wraps their arms around these young people. So, Marianne, that's on the inpatient rehabilitation hospital side of things. And then additionally, and differently, we also take care of children with special health care needs and medical complexity across the outpatient side. So those children may have been in the hospital. They may not have. To give you a flavor of the kids for whom we care, we take care of 10,000 children with autism, several thousand with neuromuscular disease. And we do that in therapy, PT, OT, speech. And we do that in some niche medical services like rehab medicine, developmental behavioral medicine. And actually where I started at Children's Specialized was in primary care, just like your pediatrician's typical office. But as I like to say, it's your pediatrician's office on steroids, aimed to take care of children with medical complexity in a primary care setting and help coordinate all the different things that are that our patients, families, and parents have to coordinate in addition to the direct healthcare service.
Well, you explained that so well, Matt, and I want people to hear that, as you said, let's say you take an adolescent who has chronic pain. Maybe they've had a surgery and it left them on x-ray with a straighter spine or a leg that has healed from a femur fracture or something pretty complex, but they still, they're subconsciously, maybe sometimes they stop using that part of their body. And so your therapy, we think of rehab, as you say, with people that have strokes, adults, they have physical rehab, but these little children need, we all do, but psychological. They need people to say, it's all right, we're going to make you, find the silver lining for them. I remember in medical school, this could be way off base, but I remember learning that people that have a chronic illness, obviously depending how severe, sometimes live longer because they go to the doctor regularly and they follow and they keep their diabetes under control or their hypertension, whatever it is, where somebody goes along feeling just fine, they never see the doctor. So maybe we're going to talk about some of the examples. I love the one about a little girl named Emma with diabetes, but you're starting with the therapies include behavior. Let's see how we can structure your day and just imbue them with the ideas that sleep hygiene, time management, appropriate behavior is all part of it. And by you, what I'm saying is by you teaching them at a young age that discipline is key, it's going to serve them in every facet of their lives. Not that it's good to have a chronic illness, but wouldn't you say that's a great silver lining that you folks offer?
It's much broader and bigger than only taking care of their medical needs or giving kids medicine. We're supporting their social, emotional needs and supporting the parents as well as they navigate a very difficult healthcare system. And we try to give the parents that support and direction in negotiating the school-based systems, the healthcare-based yes. system, much deeper, much more patient and family-centered than you know, writing a prescription for the right antibiotic or the right spasticity medicine.
Well said. Let's take a little break, and when we come back, more from Children's Specialized Hospital with President and CEO Dr. Matt McDonald.
Thanks for listening to Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, exclusively presented by Independence Blue Cross. If you have a question for the medical mailbag, just send a note to doctor@yourradiodoctor.net.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Welcome back to Your Radio Doctor. We're so happy to have the company of Dr. Matt McDonald, fellow SJU, St. Joe Hawk, and president and CEO. That in itself is incredible, Matt, that you have risen to the top. How did you get so interested? You said you're a general pediatrician, but you told me a story the other day that someone where you worked at St. Chris's had a little child born with Down syndrome, and that became your love. You wanted to help children with complex medical disorders, yes?
I originally started taking care of children with special health care needs when the CEO of a hospital in Philadelphia, actually, had a granddaughter with Down syndrome. And she went to my boss and said to my boss, is there anyone that will start a program for children with Down syndrome? And I had this propensity to want to work with children with complex needs or hospitalized children. My boss came to me and said, Matt, how about you go work in an awesome place called the Center for Children with Special Health Care Needs at St. Christopher's? And I said, sure thing. And that was the start of how I began in a primary care setting, taking care of children with not only Down syndrome, but cerebral palsy, complex medical conditions, children that may need to have technology to stay alive. And ultimately, that is what landed me in my current role at Children Specialized, because the entire purpose of Children Specialized is to help those kids. I got very lucky along the way. I had a lot of wonderful mentors and people that I was lucky that God put in my life. And I was, I guess, smart enough to listen to some of the advice that they gave along the way.
Well, you know, I remember as a medical student on pediatrics, and we had a little baby come in and with a brilliant geneticist who was running the cases of children with rare diseases. And I saw the baby, I started crying. And I said, oh my gosh. And he said, now, I want you to go talk to the parents. And I said, oh, okay. I need about an hour to fix, you know, calm down. And I did it, but I thought I would want to scoop up all those children and take them home. But you do it with such love. We could hear that. And as soon as you saw, you accepted the challenge. You were given that message, and it touched your heart and your mind, and you've spent your life offering these great services. So if we paint the picture for a listener, say the four-week stay with the little girl on your website, Emma, was 9 years old. So we talk about helping them with behavior and help them to look at life in a disciplined way with their eating and counting carbs and all that it involves, and getting the right amount of sleep and time management in general, which is a great lesson for all children and adults. And then their treatment, maybe daily exercise, shopping and cooking to promote good nutrition. And then the big thing I would think is meeting other children who are dealing with what you are. If you're the only child in your class with a medical condition, it's hard to feel like you fit in. You know, can we hear a little bit more about an example of like a four-week stay, like this young girl, Emma, I think she was 9 when she first came to CSH, sorry.
No,
and
that's all right, yeah.
She's telling her story at age 16. It's beautiful.
Yeah, so Emma was one of the patients in our chronic illness program for specifically for type 1 diabetes. So if you were to walk down the hallway there in New Brunswick, where she stayed for just about a month, you would see physicians, you would see nurses, and you would see therapists, as you might expect. And then we have nutritionists, dietitians, and psychologists who help basically educate those patients so that they can own their own care management. You know, diabetes for a child is difficult. It's difficult on the family. It's difficult to understand the nuances of it. So in some ways, you'd walk down the hall and it would look like an educational setting where a group of young teenagers or a couple of them may be in a session with a whiteboard learning how to carb count, or sitting together learning and understanding how to dose their insulin. And then we do some out trips and some real life situations so that they can understand what shopping looks like. They also exercise a lot while they're there so that they can understand the importance of exercise and the impact of exercise on diabetes for sure, but also how to regulate their sugars. Multidisciplinary, a lot of people contributing. And the interesting thing that we see is we do see the peer-to-peer interaction. And when it goes very well, actually the families leave there with not only better health, but they may leave there with a friend or a peer support group that they didn't know they had. You know, there's a lot of folks, believe it or not, with type 1 diabetes, or if it's a rare thing like AVM or stroke or cerebral palsy or a rare genetic disorder, we do connect people to that peer group so that they can know they're not alone in the journey. Important for the teenagers, but also important for the families.
Well, I think too, Matt, when you explain it, people get a better idea, because we'll say they get OT, PT. What does that mean? Well, occupational therapy is kind of activities of daily living, right? As we said, your activity after school, your sleep hygiene, physical therapy. This young girl did her 4 week stay when she was 9 or 10, and then she worked herself. She was so proud to say she could do 100 push-ups, squats, sit-ups alongside another girl her age, and they've been friends ever since. And then as she got a little bit older, she was proud to say she was a role model for other little guys coming in with diabetes. All those layers of reinforcement for the patient, her parents have to find some peace of mind, you all feel positive. And the recreational therapy, swimming, gardening, team games, as you say. I'm just reading some of the things she wrote about. And the little girl said that after a short while of carb counting and identifying what goods are long energy, short energy, and all carbs, that she dropped her A1C. Most people know that that's the lab value that reflects your sugars for the last 3 months. She made remarkable progress in the psychology, the individual and peer group is just immeasurable benefit for a child, a teenager going through this, because it's hard enough to be an adolescent or a teenager. Yes?
Right. You hit on two really important topics, or two of my favorite topics. One is the measurable outcome. So we don't just feel good about the services, but we actually measure the outcomes and the indicators like hemoglobin A1C. And that team in particular checks in on the kids and measures those things even after their 28-day stay, out to as far as 6 months, and if we can, out to a year, to make sure that the results are sustainable. The second part, and it's one of my favorite things to see, and you know, I get emotional thinking about it. But when those children and those parents who come in there facing adversity, not just in the chronic illness program, but in brain injury and spinal cord injury, the amazing thing is that not only do they show such resilience and get through it for themselves, but my favorite part is when they actually become a role model for others. We have a young lady who had, as a young teenager, had a brain injury from a ruptured AVM. And you can imagine for the family and for her, this young lady's pretty athletic. That's a very difficult setback, a very difficult time for families and trying to understand what's going on and why does this happen. That young lady not only, you know, overcome and made it an incredible recovery and worked very hard to get back to an amazing functional level, but now she serves as a spokesperson for the hospital and for something called the Children's Miracle Network, which is a very well-known fundraising arm across the country. And the fact that she can stand in front of folks and children and serve as an example is amazing. We also have, to that point, we also employ at our hospital...
Oh, I love this.
A special group of folks called the family faculty. And they are employees of the hospital, fully functioning employees, leaders, sitting on all sorts of committees, including the Board of Trustees. And they are parents of current or former patients. So they not only serve as someone who can walk the walk and hold the hand of people going through what they may have gone through, but they also serve an important function for folks like me to make sure that we're keeping family-centeredness real and that we're communicating with families. We're not losing empathy. They're an amazing group of folks as well.
Well, I certainly hear an abundance of empathy from you, but you're right. You don't really understand until you've lived in the situation, but I think I need to be your agent and brag for you a little bit, because you're not the bragging type, but the advocacy. So when you send these children and their families back into their community, they have to know, like if they have autism, we're making some progress out there. I think we have a doctor at Jefferson, Dr. Wendy Ross, superstar, trying to promote neurodiversity, and that DEI doesn't just mean color, ethnicity, gender. It means neurodiversity. It means disability, you know, the different spectrum of disabilities that people in general have, and even visual, you know, spectrum of vision. And it's beautiful. The other thing is your research. If you're seeing the, you know, if you're a hub for these children, you're going to learn so much and be a center of excellence for people around the country to imitate your templates, but also say, what have you learned in New Brunswick that we can apply to California?
That's right. We don't only deliver healthcare services. We have an amazing group of people who constantly advocate on behalf of our patients, who tend to be from vulnerable populations to start with, and then can be marginalized in society. So we like to give them opportunities to do the things we would want for anyone: community inclusiveness, community recreation, sports. So we as an organization are advocating federally and locally to be inclusive of individuals with disability, children with special health care needs. And we have a passionate 1,700 employees who are no stranger to advocating for the needs of our patients. I'm so proud of them in that way. It's part of what makes the institution so special. So family faculty, our Center of Excellence for Autism, you know, not only advocating, but trying to figure out how to do things better, how to improve access, how to stop with having wait times for our patients.
Let's take a little break as we learn more from Dr. Matt McDonald from the Children's Specialized Hospital at Robert Wood Johnson Barnabas Health.
Today's edition of Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross, can be enjoyed anytime, anywhere, at your convenience. Just download the Odyssey app and search Your Radio Doctor. It's health education on demand.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
Your radio doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, now Saturday afternoons at 5, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC.
Welcome back to our final segment of Your Radio Doctor. We are learning fantastic information about the Children's Specialized Hospital at Robert Wood Johnson Barnabas Health in New Brunswick, New Jersey, from the CEO and President, Dr. Matt McDonald. Matt, we were talking about the whole concept of children with complex medical conditions or chronic illnesses. If they're out in the community floundering, they can come to you, and we're going to talk about how that can happen. But we talked about, say, a child who has diabetes, and the average person who doesn't have it in their family doesn't understand all the layers of care these children and their families need. You're brilliant enough to have families, parents of children, or alumni, I guess, who participate as faculty and volunteers and staff members. What a brilliant idea. Who's more invested than the parents of children who have suffered?
Well, I'd love to take credit for that idea. The only thing I can take credit for is keeping that idea around a children's specialist. They're special people. And when you talk about family-centeredness, or you talk about trying to deliver services through the eyes of your customer or the families, there's no better people to advise you on that. So I'm actually blessed by having those folks. They work at each of our sites, so they're available directly to the patients to help them navigate their pathways and their journey, and to tell the families about the nuances of how to ensure that you know your rights, or know your network, or what community resources are available. And then they're also part of our board of trustees, our hospital leadership, so that they can influence the care we provide at the policy and leadership level.
But I just want to emphasize something else. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I have to stop for a minute and say, I've listened to you say you listened to the call from the Lord and you're blessed. That is what makes you so special. You are the right person in the right place, because your example of your loving kindness and patience and saying, we're going to get you better, we're going to get you to your fullest potential, that makes me want to work there. I don't think you'd hire a, you know, GI internist for that taste. But I mean, that is what sets the tone for everyone around you, including the families. You're giving them hope. I was reading the story about, you mentioned a little girl who had a brain bleed. So you said AVM, arteriovenous malformation. For listeners, it means an artery that meets a vein in a funky way that wasn't meant to happen, and it's weak. And all of a sudden, there's this little 12-year-old boy on your website, DJ, beautiful, beautiful young man, sitting in the classroom, tells the teacher he has a headache. She's ready to send him to the nurse's office. When he passes out, he faints and has a seizure. Turns out, like the little girl you mentioned, had a stroke, just like an adult would, but we don't expect it in children. Coma, feeding tube, tracheostomy, sick for months. And with your help with occupational therapy, teaching him how to strengthen his upper body while he was in a wheelchair. I mean, I get chills relaying this, and I don't know him. I'm just feeling this when I've watched my own kids have injuries and worry sick. He's now back going to college, and his comment was, it's okay. He's not complaining. He's not saying, poor me, I couldn't play football. He was an athlete. He doesn't say, I lost that time. He says, every rainstorm is followed by sunshine. You're the leader of that, Matt. You set that tone, and I have to stop and say that, because that's so key in any major undertaking. Like, you started with 20,000 patients about 10 years ago, and now you're up to 40. Something's going well this year.
I appreciate the compliment, and I'm going to reserve judgment on whether or not we'll hire you, because if we start to figure out how to meet the transition needs of our patients into adulthood, we may need a few good colonoscopy people.
Well, I can read books too. I can, you know, bring candy to everybody. That's my major vice in life. There was a little boy I read about too named Jace, and his mom said, "There's something. I'm noticing something about my 8-month-old child," because she had an older boy who was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. Anyway, he went through so many ups and downs, and now he's fluent in English and Spanish and learning Japanese, and he's coding. And he and his brother have a YouTube website. His brother plays the guitar, and he sings. It's incredible. And it doesn't happen by themselves at home. It's you, plural. It's all the people you mentioned.
Yeah, well, across the country, Marianne, there's unique people who take care of children with special health care needs, and it's certainly a calling. At Children Specialized, we'll help about 40,000 children this year, and I'm always on a mission to see who else mm-hmm. we can help, or to see what unmet need we can close the gap on for our kids. And autism is a good example. So we're very proud of the work that we do for children with autism, but we're constantly thinking about what additional programs do children need with autism? How do we improve the streamlining for children with autism? We have the largest developmental behavioral section probably in the country, and it's still not enough to adequately provide access. So for listeners that may be out there, if your child has a special health care need or you have a concern about your child's development at any point, it's important to talk about those things as early as possible with your pediatrician. And then if there is a problem identified, it's very important to bring your child to a place, it doesn't have to be Children Specialized, but a place that understands their unique needs, because those folks will be able to intervene earlier. And the earlier you intervene, as was the case for the young man you just mentioned, the better off the patient will be and better the outcomes. Easy example is if you come to Children Specialized, our therapists and docs are going to introduce children that don't communicate verbally. They're going to introduce them to alternative ways to communicate at an early age. And it doesn't preclude them from verbally talking or talking aloud, but it does improve the communication for the child, reduce the frustration for the child, potentially reduce problematic behaviors, reduce frustration for the family. But that's a nuance, and it's only understood by folks that take care of those children on a day-to-day basis. And that's the value that a specialty institution, as opposed to an acute care institution, brings to the community in which we work. In our case, the East Coast or New Jersey, Pennsylvania.
And there's a pivot. You said it very well. As you say, everything very well. There's acute care. It's just like an emergency room. The emergency room, you go in, do you need surgery or not? And if not, do you need to be admitted or do you go home? It's very, you know, there's a dichotomy there, left and right. And with as you say, you compare a specialized hospital where it's a video, it's not a snapshot of you come in, you have pneumonia, you come in, you have your appendix out. This is a long journey. And I know you mentioned before that, say, if a child has autism and they need an alternative way to communicate, was it augmented, the name of the equipment?
Right, my speech therapist would help me here. Alternative augmentative device mm-hmm. or communication device.
Yeah, it's just like we're going to be doing a show soon on people who are visually impaired, and the technology that's available has skyrocketed in recent years, and that's why we're so fortunate to, at least here in Philadelphia, we live so close to Children Specialized. So if people wanted to come and see you, I would guess that first you'd have to do an intake. and say, do we have what your child needs? Are we the right fit for each other? Can somebody start with a telehealth consultation, especially if they live far away? I mean, what do people do who don't live near a tertiary center like yours that has nuanced care and nuanced understanding?
Well, for us, generally, it depends on what the status is for your child now. If your child's hospitalized, then thank goodness, Marianne, we have intensive care docs and neonatologists that save the lives of kids every day. And what a calling for those nurses, docs, and others. But once that life-saving intervention is complete, that's the time to start to think about early rehabilitative care, where you don't need to be in an intensive care. You need to be improving deconditioning or working on getting back to full strength. And, you know, there's all sorts of different routes, either calling the hospital or having the hospital in which your child is call. And then for outpatient, the website and the numbers on the website are the best bet. Depending on what the concern is from a family will dictate what the next logical step would be.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you have a lot of partners in the community, Matt, like, say, Special Olympics or even Paralympics for some of the children and adolescents and teens. You take care of patients up to age 21, yes?
Correct.
But even knowing about Special Olympics, a lot of times people see that on TV and say, that's cool, and they never think to pick up the phone and call and say, maybe I'll be part of that. And when it's in your mantra, they're more likely to be aware of it and take advantage, yes?
Correct, yeah. And we're a proud partner of the Special Olympics New Jersey chapter. So I get to sit on the board with those wonderful, wonderful folks. And that's the hidden truth is once you're in, say, our primary care location and you're being cared for by the team of people, they're going to be able to direct your child to these community resources that are available to you that other folks may not know about, Special Olympics being one of them, or an association for children with Down syndrome in New Jersey, where you can get that peer support. But all children of all abilities, this is my plug, you know, should have social interaction, exercise, activity, physical therapy that only benefits every facet of a child's life, regardless of whether or not they are typically developing or have cerebral palsy, as an example.
Mm-hmm. And I think you struck another chord that when the parents come back and either volunteer or they're considered family faculty and they work as staff members, there is no such thing as true altruism. We talked about this a few weeks ago. We did a whole show on the value of volunteering or being part of something bigger than yourself. When you do something good for someone else, sure, it helps them, but you feel better mentally, emotionally, even physically. And if people wanted to contact you, either for consultation or bring their child for a visit, they would call a certain number. Their website, we can repeat that a few times. It's www.children's, without an apostrophe, children's-specialized.org. Is there a number they can call, Matt?
Sure. There's a central number they can call. It's 888-244-5373. So the website has that number, or a website also has a list of services and even more information than we talked about today with regard to services available or the children that we take care of.
Matt, what's your message to our listeners as we say goodbye?
Well, my message is probably thank you. You know, you get into this field, as you know, as a physician, and you think I'm going to do well for somebody else. And I gotta say that the impact that children with special health care needs, their resilience, and the things that our patients and families overcome have served an immense value to me through the years. It's taught me a lot about life and things beyond medicine. And then the second thing I'll share is if your child has a special healthcare need or you have a concern about your child that's not being met, I would encourage you to visit us or visit places that have a complex care program or program that's specific for children with special health care needs, because I think that those folks here in the Philadelphia region and across the country can add a lot of value to the important coordination of care that's so important for children with special need or medical complexity.
And as you say, Matt, bring these little children and teens to their full potential. That's what makes you happy at the end of the day, and their parents. And there's a little less frustration if they see that other people are going through it, fellow patients and their families, and parents become friends. And the loving community that you provide with the research and the advocacy and holding the hands of these families, it's just so beautiful. And you're doing God's work. I mean, it's plain to say. So will you send me a drop of water to purgatory or that hot place when I when I send you a smoke signal?
Sure thing. Sure thing.
If people want to reach out to Children's Specialized Hospital, the website is www.children's, without the apostrophe, children's-specialized.org, or the number 888-244-5373. Dr. Matthew McDonald, what a pleasure. Go Hawks, my fellow St. Joe grad, and I hope I get to come and have lunch with you someday.
For sure, the Hawk will never die.
Your Radio Doctor with Dr. Marianne Ritchie is presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross.
At Independence Blue Cross, we take care of the people who take care of you. Everyday heroes like firefighters, police officers, teachers, farmers, and healthcare workers. Doctors and hospitals across the region have IBX, and they know what it means to have reliable access to care. So whether you're saving lives or just trying to live a healthier life, count on IBX, the region's number one health insurer for 85 years. Learn more at IBX.com.
And now for your real champion. I call this segment Dr. Angela Lin, the voice for those with a rare disease. Dr. Angela Lin, professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School, and she's a clinical geneticist at the Mass General Hospital for Children, where she's the clinical director of the Mass General Hospital Myhre Syndrome Clinic and the co-director of the Mass General Hospital Turner Syndrome Clinic. She has spent her entire professional career as an advocate for children with disorders caused by genetic mutations, some of which are extremely rare, coordinating care, compiling information, and conducting research. And she's respected as a world expert. And like our other guest, her most important credential, wait for it, she is a St. Joe Hawk from St. Joe's University. In fact, Angela, tell me, was it the first day of Bio 101 when I happened to sit next to Dr. Angela Lin? We became lifelong friends. So by association, did that make me a little bit cool?
That's the truth, Marianne. That's how we met, and here we are today.
College and medical school together, so I couldn't think of anybody I'd rather have on the show. Angela, tell us about Myhre syndrome. It's fascinating, but not if your little child has it. What are the problems, and
sure. How
did you become interested in it?
Marianne, thank you for allowing me to talk about this. Myhre syndrome is a very rare, we call it an ultra-rare syndrome. In our clinic, we've seen over 50 patients. In the United States, there might be maybe 400 to 500. We have a unique clinic in which we take care of people across the lifespan from when they're babies to when they're older. And I can think of somebody who actually just called me this week. It's a mother whose child was just diagnosed, and she was stunned, just stunned. And you can find me, as you can find other health people, just online. You Google Myhre syndrome, and I come up fairly early because we have this clinic. So it's a condition in which people can be short. They usually have intellectual limitations, not always intellectual disability, but some limitations. Many are on the spectrum of autism, and there can be internal problems involving the heart, the lungs, the airways. Some of the features of Myhre syndrome are very minor, just in terms of some of the fingers or how they look. The children are all adorable. But what's scary to parents is that it is progressive, but not in the same way for everybody. So everything I've said applies to many of the people most of the time, but not always.
Sure. And that's why you describe it as a spectrum of findings, because virtually every case is different, yes?
Absolutely. Every patient is different. Every child, every adult is unique. We used to just think of this as a pediatric problem. We're definitely meeting adults now.
Well, it's interesting, and I've listened to you speak and I've watched your videos. Myhre, for our listeners, is spelled M-Y, you can remember that much, M-Y-H-R-E. And it was identified by a Dr. Myhre, who's Norwegian. So the pronunciation is a little different there, but it's relatively recently described, right? The 1980s? So perhaps as time goes by, it'll be recognized more.
It is. Dr. Myhre described it in 1981. There was a steady stream of case reports, small series. And then the big landmark was in 2011, the gene was discovered. That means that all the people out there that we thought might have Myhre syndrome, we could now confirm by doing the genetic test. And after that, things just took off. So I got to meet my first individual in 2014, and that's how the clinic grew. It's word of mouth, one person talking about another and another.
And did you ever have a chance to speak to Dr. Myhre?
No, she had passed away by then.
Aw. So how did you become interested in this?
Doctors who do this type of work like me were absolutely obsessed. I love Myhre syndrome. I love my patients. And if there's something about this that we want to continue working in, because I think there's hope. There's hope that we're going to be able to actually treat these children. Right now, the treatment is symptomatic, helping the parents, helping them with their issues. But we're looking for cures that would be genetic based. And that just really just inspires me to keep going on. But I love working with these families. They've been wonderful.
And I'm sure they appreciate you. I just had a nice conversation, a great conversation with Dr. Matt McDonald from the Children's Specialized Hospital at Robert Wood Johnson, Barnabas Health. And he echoed that same love, Angela. I mean, you love these people. They love you. It's not going to work and doing something robotic. You're taking people, care of people, and giving them hope. I think that's the word that, and I would think too, the earlier the condition is identified, the earlier you can intervene and help children and adolescents. And sometimes I'm sure you see older people, just for advice, I guess, to reach their fullest potential.
Absolutely. An earlier diagnosis is happening for a couple reasons. Number one, increased awareness. People like me, I present information at annual meetings. It's like marketing a product. So I talk about it. We write articles that helps get it out there. And just this slow diffusion of knowledge so that it's not just the realm of the genetic specialist. It's also the realm now of pediatricians, neurologists, general doctors who are suspecting that something's different about these kids. And the way we do testing for this, and I'm trying to generalize what I know about Myhre syndrome, it's not always saying, I think it's Myhre syndrome, I'm going to do this single gene test. We can sort of put it in a frame. So a doctor might say, this child is delayed. I think he's on the spectrum. There is a panel of autism genes. Or this child is short. So we have a panel of short stature genes. Or hearing loss, or cancer. So this is how genetic testing works these days. I know everybody hears about whole genome sequencing, which is really cool and is great. But more often, it's a more practical selection. But as time goes on, we're going to be doing fewer panels and more of this broad spectrum. It's called exome or genome sequencing. Sorry to lay so much technical stuff, but...
No. You said it so clearly because I think, Angela, with all the techno talk that's out there, people think you send blood and they figure out, you know, what percentage of you is Irish or Italian or whatever. And it's just not that simple because what you do is, and I love your explanation of this, a chromosome, we all have 46 chromosomes. It looks like a caterpillar that has coding on it, that has barcodes. Yes. A caterpillar with barcodes. And it takes experts to comb through the thousands of genes to find a pattern or look for what might give you a diagnosis. So I guess my other question is, when a family has a child who's determined to be on the spectrum, autism spectrum disorder, should they be tested for Myhre, or is, as you say, I guess you already kind of said it, there are other things associated with ASD that maybe they'd be tested?
It's a very personal decision. Some people are knowledge seekers. They want to know why their child has a problem. They will pursue it, and we can answer it. Other people are really happy to say, okay, I have the general idea. Now I know my child has autism, but I'm not sure that I need to know more. And a doctor cannot push. I always say to my patients, I think we're taking a walk. And I don't want you to feel that you're dragging me along to do testing, nor do I want you to think that I'm pushing you. I hope that we're walking along at the same pace. And so people who are not interested in testing may not really come. They just don't want to know. But what motivates people is not only personal curiosity, but thinking about their own family, other children, children that they've had, children they might have. And then depending on the child and the disability or abilities, they might be wondering about their child's potential to have another child. So there are a lot of things that figure into this. Some people really want to know about a disorder so they can predict what will be happening in 5 years, 10 years. Some parents want to know, should I start planning a fund for my child's adult care? And these are hard things to talk about.
Well, and I think too, when you talk about Myhre syndrome to a general audience, and congratulations, I know you just chaired a whole symposium over the weekend at Children's Hospital here in Philadelphia, so we're fortunate that you were able to come.
Can I give a shout out and thanks to CHOP for letting us host it?
Yes, I love CHOP.
International meeting, but I want to thank them for letting us do it.
And I too, because when you were here, our stars were crossing because my little grandson, who was only 4 weeks old, we had to bring him up and be evaluated for a fever. And he had outstanding care and everything worked out luckily. So God is good. But so when parents listen, two things I wanted to ask. People can learn from you talking about the template of a care plan that you help people form because every family is different, as you said. That's number one. Number two, what should parents look for in their baby or developing toddler? Maybe that they don't seem to be bonding. A mother knows that. Yes, they're not feeding well, they're low weight, or they're different from the other children. Any words of wisdom for that?
So that's a really difficult question, but I agree with you. I think the parent's instinct, mother's instinct, really means a lot. And especially if they've had another child, they can have a sense this child is different. And then voicing that concern to the pediatrician who can then take it to another level or to another specialist.
Well, you're humble enough too, Angela. I've heard you say this more than once. You are thrilled when parents bring that information to you because it helps you better understand their child. And then you're gathering all that information to help other children with Myhre syndrome or Turner syndrome or some of the other conditions you study, yes?
Yes. I mean, parents are the best observers. And when we are meeting for the first time, we're sort of creating a medical biography, obtaining the history. I'm doing the exam. And the more they can tell me the clever little nuances or insights, that means a lot.
It's all about nuancing. Angela, if somebody wanted to see you, you're at the Mass General Hospital for Children. And we said you're in the Department of Pediatrics, in the Division of Genetics, and you're the director of the Myhre, that's M-Y-H-R-E, Syndrome Clinic. But people can find you by Googling Dr. Angela Lin, L-I-N, yes, at Mass General. But I love your reference to the Myhre Syndrome Foundation. They also have a great website for information. Yes, the MyhreSyndrome.org. Mm-hmm.
For every rare disease, just about, there is a great support group. And it makes us true partners. We are a community. So I might work at MGH in a hospital as a doctor, but out there is the community. For Myhre Syndrome, it's called the Myhre Syndrome Foundation.
Beautiful. So that's M-Y-H-R-E Syndrome, MyhreSyndrome.org, if you want to visit there. Dr. Angela Lin, L-I-N, is at Mass General Hospital for Children. Angela, thank you. I am so happy that you were able to share that information. People are very grateful for your work, and I'm grateful that you're my friend. So lucky me. God bless you. Awesome work. The world is better because of people like you. Thank you for listening to Your Radio Doctor every Saturday at 5 p.m. here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Listen to any of our shows again on Audacy.com, AUDACY. Thanks to our exclusive sponsor, Independence Blue Cross, and for our association with Helio.com, the medical information platform with the most current medical and health news. Remember, please pray for peace in our world, our country, our families, and in each of our own hearts. This is your radio doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, wishing you a happy, healthy, and safe week with the ones you love, and always here to remind you that your health is your wealth.
Thanks for listening to your radio doctor, Dr. Marianne Ritchie, presented exclusively by Independence Blue Cross. To contact Dr. Marianne and to listen to today's show as well as past shows, visit yourradiodoctor.com. This program is paid for by Your Radio Doctor, LLC. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Your Radio Doctor and their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.